Okay, well, thank you all for these proposals. We appreciate them. We've got a few thoughts to add on to a counter.
Okay.
A couple of things. Just kind of broadly conceptualizing where we are right now.
Right.
We'd be willing, I think our faculty will be willing to work towards a contract here that emphasizes more of the benefit side from the salary side in order to address some of the financial situations that you guys are outlining, right? And so I think there's a couple avenues to do that. For the Article 25, the salary article, what we'd like to see before signing off on anything is a fuller articulation of things like our carry forward balances, right? Our financial encumbrance independent of the performance-based funding metric, right? So we'd like to see have a fuller discussion about the larger budget that's available or not available at the university.
Okay.
University level before signing off on those. But pending that sort of review and discussion, we're philosophically willing to de-emphasize salary in order to emphasize the benefit element of the contract to move towards ratification and to address the concerns that faculty have.
Okay.
So the way that we would believe to do that is to return to the tuition benefit. Faculty have expressed to us that this is a very important benefit to them. And we think that it aligns exactly with what President Saunders says in her messaging about the value of the university and investment in those faculty who are responsible for producing our success. Now, Mike, you mentioned the legal argument about the concerns about this benefit, right? The only thing that I've heard articulated from the university's position is a resistance to the legal argument of it, not a philosophical resistance to or a practical resistance to the actual benefit itself, to increasing that benefit. As we said last time, this is a copy of that specific Florida statute that you're referencing, the 1009.26. Now, our legal understanding of this statute is that it is focused and limited exclusively to the individual faculty member or employee's use of those 6 hours, right? So it says a university board of trustees is authorized to permit full-time university employees who meet academic requirements to enroll, and enroll is the key word, for up to 6 credit hours of tuition-free courses per term on a space available basis, right? And so this is both the employees limited to the employee and to that employee's enrollment, which makes sense, right? If you're an employer, you don't want your employee to be taking 12 hours a semester while simultaneously being on the clock, right? Our legal understanding of this language is that it does not encumber the university to provide additional benefits to those employees' dependence, right? In any way, this is the only restriction that we can find within the statutes. And then, additionally, it says in that later on in that exact same statute, each university board of trustees is authorized to waive tuition and out-of-state fees for purposes that support and enhance the mission of the university. Right? President Saunders has articulated in her message that clearly that the work of faculty, that this enhanced the vision and mission of the university. That's exactly what's been articulated in her messaging to faculty about our continued success. The Board of Governors regulation also mirrors this, right? Each university board of trustees is authorized to waive tuition, non-resident tuition, and associated fees for purposes that support and enhance the mission of the university, right? So of the same piece. And the FIU language, you know, as we mentioned last time, mirrors that structure, right? It says the individual employee can't enroll for 6 hours, but the benefit can go up to 10 hours to be utilized by dependents, etc. So our counter proposal is that we would be willing to de-emphasize salary, right, in this go round, and to emphasize this benefit if this benefit is increased to 12 hours, from 6 hours. I think that that is something that would be ratified by faculty, that they would welcome and support, and it would also address the university's concerns about wanting a different emphasis from financial encumbrance.
Okay.
And to be clear, sorry, but to be clear, we're talking about dependents, not the faculty. And so when I go out and recruit, it's harder and harder for me to recruit faculty with our salary structure and sand dollars. But if I can say, hey, your students, your kids can come to school here 12 hours. And again, it's on a space available basis. And they are still paying the fees. So I've never understood, is there a financial hard dollar that if that space is unoccupied and the student's paying the fees, we're just waiving the tuition on the empty seat? I don't understand why. I don't understand the economics.
Let me look at the language for a second.
Because I think, don't seniors have that same opportunity if there's space available?
The space available is not on the dependent. It's on the individual employee, right? So, but still, it's correct that this would be of minimal financial encumbrance to the university.
I don't actually see where space available is anywhere in here.
It's on three.
Mm-hmm. It says on a space available basis. That's for the employee specifically.
Yeah, but I mean on this.
On that.
Yeah, it's not on the space available is not on that. It's on the employee.
Yeah. But I mean I don't think it's on either in this, right?
No.
Well, it's on the employee. If this is from the statute.
I know. I'm just saying. No, we probably have to mirror the statute.
We would be fine with what I hear you saying is right. So this language that we've added in that's from the FIU contract with employees enrolling in no more than 6 credit hours, we could say on a space available basis for the employee specifically, but not on the dependent, right? So we could add that in there to mirror the statute for the employee.
Okay, I guess maybe you're not ready to answer this question, but I'm going to ask you the obvious answer. I mean, obvious question is when you say de-emphasize salary, what do you mean by de-emphasize salary?
As de-emphasizing in the proposal that you've put forward here, which has $500, which I've said, if the salary proposal that you've put forward here is essentially the primary or only proposal that's going forward to faculty, I think we're going to have a hard time ratifying that.
Okay.
Right? Because it's all it adds new to the contract is an inversion increase that is going to affect a very, very, and we appreciate that
so
increase.
You think with that $500 that the additional tuition waiver carries the day?
I would imagine that would be ratified, but first we would like to review the carry forward in the budget.
Okay. All right.
But a package, when I say de-emphasizing salary, a package that increases this tuition benefit, right, as the primary focus of this reopener contract, I think could move towards ratification.
Okay. Well, I guess, does anybody have any questions or thoughts?
Nothing.
No, not this time.
Why don't we caucus?
Okay.
And then we'll be right back.
Real quickly, before we do, I've been meaning to ask him to follow up on something you said a couple times ago. It's not related to these things directly, but it's to get in. I didn't want to contact you outside of bargaining. I didn't want it to sound like burgling from the table. You had, when we were talking about the online classes and the creation a few times ago, you mentioned, you outlined a compelling situation where the university is providing a lot of assistance, university assistance that would qualify as university assistance in the contractual rights scenario. In that scenario, if that faculty member said, I want to turn those things down, right? All of the
support.
The support, right? Do you think that the faculty member would be able to go forward with that class if they turn down that university support, or do you think that that university support would be essential to offering the class?
I think it depends. Well, right now, I would say with, you know, we've had the discussions about the transition to Canvas and a lot of the quality matters and some of those things. In that case, the conversation has been that it's essential. So that portion of it, I think, maybe. But as far as the, I mean, I think if you can create the course and do it without the support.
Okay. Okay. I was just thinking, like, when you had mentioned, like, videographers and people like that who were coming in.
Right.
So I was just trying to think about that context of if a faculty member says, you know what, I'd rather retain more of the rights to that.
No, I think faculty member has every right to do that. That's part of creating the course. Yeah. Now, I think the only caveat would be if we went, you know, with the quality matters and making sure that online courses met a certain level of quality.
Sure.
If the provost implemented that, then obviously courses would have to go through that process.
And that would be a scenario where we would negotiate, like, does that constitute university support if it's a quality or something like that? Okay, that clarifies. We're still perfectly fine waiting until full book to negotiate those things. I was just interested in that thought.
Okay.